I see that we are correcting, but can Lubabalo, for the records, confirm whether we are correcting or not? Lubabalo? Lubabalo? Is Lubabalo not here? Okay, in view of the fact that Lubabalo is not here, we are going to proceed because all members are here with us in the meeting. We got the quorum. Apologies, Lubabalo. Apologies. So where is Lubabalo? Where is Lubabalo? Andisa, where is Lubabalo?
Morning, Chairperson. I just called him now. He says he's struggling with his network. He's trying to rejoin the meeting.
The only apology which I have is from Honorable Muela. He has a meeting at 11 o'clock that he must join as well. So he's going to leave. Who is taking notes in the absence of Lubabalo in the meeting?
He's just joined.
Okay, can we move for the adoption of the agenda?
I move for the adoption of the agenda, Chairperson.
Who is talking now?
Zambanza.
You must raise your hand. Your gadget must allow you to raise your hand. Honorable Mpanza is moved for the adoption. Honorable Swartz? I see your hand is up.
I stand the adoption of the chair.
Okay. Lubabalo.
Hey man, what kaka are you doing, Nani?
Good morning, Chair.
Apologies.
Chair, we have three apologies, Chair, from the minister and the head deputies. They are attending the cabinet quarter, Chair.
Welcome to the department. I don't know who is leading the delegation from the department, but without wasting time, we are going to allow the department risk and audit team to present their report to the portfolio committee, because we are meeting with them today to check whether from the previous meeting we had with them there's any improvement. So risk and audit team from the department is here with us today to table that report as requested by the portfolio committee. So I'm going to allow them to table their presentation without wasting time. Who is presenting from you, team risk and audit? Who's leading the team?
Sorry, Chair.
Honorable Nsan.
Before they come in, can I just check if Lubabalo is recording, because it's not showing that this meeting is being recorded.
It is recording. On my side, there's record with a red dot.
Yeah, only now, Chair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, Risky, who is presenting from your team?
Okay.
Good morning, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Precious Mvulane. I'm the Chairperson of the Audit and Risk at DERCO and also ARF. May I request, Chair, that the report that has been circulated be also be presented so that I don't move from document to the presentation?
Yes, the presentation will be slided on the screen so that we see it. But we must also register that we received your report very late yesterday. Is there a reason for that, so that it is registered? Because in the portfolio committee, we have taken a decision and the department knows when to send and what time to send the report to the portfolio committee. Why is the report not sent accordingly, and why was it sent very late yesterday? I think that is important explanation that we need as a portfolio committee.
Thank you, Chair. I got a feedback this morning from the chief audit executive that there was a delay. The audit committee finished this report on the same day we got the invitation in the evening. May I request the internal audit, chief audit executive, to articulate? I think, Chair, it's more of an admin issue than anything else. But chief audit executive, would you please explain?
Thank you. Thank you. And good morning, Honorable Chairperson and the members.
Can we have your camera on? We don't want to speak to robots. Yeah, very good.
Good morning, Chairperson and the Honorable Committee members. Yes, indeed, the Audit Committee finished the document on time, and the delay was within the departmental processes in terms of circulating the document to Parliament. And we apologize for that. What we heard or what we were told is that is because it was for the first time a report of this nature has to go to the portfolio committee. So there was sometimes lack of clarity as to how it should go until late in the evening. Then we were told that we can issue it directly. And again, we humbly apologize for that. Thank you very much.
You are not coming before the committee for the first time. And neither is it for the second time that you are appearing before the committee to table a report. Therefore, it is fallacious to say it was for the first time that a report of this nature is tabled to the portfolio committee. But we are going to make a follow-up on that. Honorable Msane, I see your hand is up.
No, Chairperson, it was for that recording.
Oh, okay. Can you please lower your hand? Honorable Mpanza, your hand is up. Honorable Mpanza?
Yes, Chair. Sorry for not unmuting. No, Chair, I think what you are raising is very important because if they say that it was coming for the first time, so I just want to know, are we not supposed to deal with matters of this nature? Because we don't want to do something that is illegal. So they must clarify that, not even now, but later on, just to say Parliament is allowed to deal with the reports like this. Because if it's not supposed to, then
no.
No,
this is a standard process of Parliament. These people are not coming here for the first time. They are supposed to do quarterly meetings, by the way, with the portfolio committee and table their own report. So to say it was for the first time, this and that, it is fallacious, I repeat. It's, okay. It's in fact incorrect and unfounded lies generally. So we are not going to qualify lies here. We are going to make a follow-up with the department through the DG as to why is this report was submitted late. If the team finished everything on time, why didn't we get the report on time so that we're able to read the report ourselves as members of parliament? And that's it. And if Pelele, you can lower your hand now. Mrs. Precious or Ms. Precious Mvulan, I don't know between you and the chief audit executive who's going to start first with the presentation. Can the presentation also be shared on the screens so that we are able to see? Thank you.
I'm going to try to share, Chair. I do have sharing rights. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I will go through the report. The chief audit executive will then add if there's anything. However, I would like also to bring the members of the audit committee and allow them to introduce themselves. As I had said, members, chairperson, my name is Precious Mvulane, and may I then move to Dr. Claudel to actually introduce herself, and then the rest is Zola, to Martin and Barry. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. My name is Claudel Von Eck. I'm new, fairly new on the committee, and joined the beginning of this year. Thank you.
Good morning, ordinary members. My name is Zola Fikani. I'm the member of the committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. My name is Martin Sesabelo. I'm the member of the Audit Committee. I'm also acting chair of the Risk Committee. Thanks.
Good morning. My name is Barry Wheeler. I'm also a chair of the Audit Committee, and I also commenced working with the committee from January this year. Thank you.
Thank you, members. Chairperson, these are the members that were introducing themselves that are part of the audit committee. As indicated, the two members recently joined, myself and Zola and Martin, we have been within the organization. I think we will be finishing our contract at the end of this year. The purpose of this presentation is from the brief that was provided, that we need to provide a feedback on how we have progressed for the past year. However, to make sure that you are compliant, the audit process has not been finalized for 19 and 20. So this brief will mainly be focusing on the activities that we have conducted as the audit committee, plus also provide a feedback on the audit outcomes for 18 and 19, Chair. In general, the audit committee is responsible around finance, governance, performance, risk management, and internal control and compliance, internal audit function, and also oversight over audit in general. And in finance, we have reviewed the following documents on quarterly basis. One was the audit action plan. May I make a note, members, that there is a typo on this. This should read 18 and 19, not 19 and 20, because we have not seen the audit action plan for that. The other report that we have reviewed was the expenditures versus the budget for 19 and 20, unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless, wasteful expenditure for 19 and 2020, and also the draft financial statements that was actually presented for audit. The issues that we will cover are the main issues that were specifically and raised previously. We will not cover all the items that were on the audit action plan, but would like to highlight to the portfolio committee that the initial document presented by management on audit action plan was not adequate. We requested management to revise the document, and we provided specific recommendations to ensure that the root cause analysis is conducted, but also on the areas of including all the audit findings plus internal audit, which was actually initially included. And we have not received the updated or revised audit action plan, even though this item is a part of our quarterly reports. So far, we have received some sort of assurance in other instances from internal audit, but that assurance is not going to give us, it has not given us the comfort that this item will not arise in the following year. The other item that was also on our review was the on reduction of the employee cost lines.
Make one copy of this.
May I request administrator to mute people? Thank you so much, Chair. The overspending on employee costs for program 2 and 3, which results to unauthorized expenditure. Chair, there hasn't been a big progress so far. The department has been struggling to come with a solution that will really deal with the issue aggressively. There was a presentation done. However, the audit committee indicated and provided a feedback to management that the risk of unauthorized expenditure will remain because the strategies developed were quite organic in terms of reduction of staff. It was not aggressive. So we will wait for the management to actually provide the progress. We do understand that Treasury and also DPSA is part of the team to actually assist the department to reduce the staff complement. The significant spending on foreign leases and accommodation, this matter has been one of the issues coming even from the audit, but also is part of what the organization should be looking at in terms of going forward with its plan on the operations. However, the audit committee has not yet been updated on the specific on the progress made based on these recommendations that were initially made. The low spending on capital expenditure on program 1, we do foresee this, especially post-COVID, that this matter will not necessarily be as obvious as before, where there was a slow spending. And please note, members, the main cause of this low spending was because of the New York project that was halted. And we are though seeing that on the new budget and revised budget cards, it will then not be as huge as it was. I do like to bring also to the members of the portfolio committee, one of the key issues that was raised was around the finance capacity or ability to actually meet the challenges of the department, which then led into a skills audit. We have reviewed documents that were sent by management, and we raised few concerns, and the documents were withdrawn. At this stage, the DG is currently revising the scope of the skills audit in finance, and we will actually be following up on that. Our recommendation to the DG was that the skills audit in finance should be actually be conducted by external person who will actually address the issues that we actually would like to actually be pulled through, to allow us to know if we do have the team that can assist the department to actually meet the challenges of the department. Based on the reports and the documents that internal audit has prepared, it does look as though, or it seems, that we don't have sufficient capacity, especially when you compare the roles that the individual play compared with National Treasury guidelines on what qualifications, what experience, and what training is required to perform in certain roles. However, we will wait for the DG to issue that request for quotation for redoing the skills audit. Members, I will move to governance, members of the audit committee. If there's any matter that you want to add, please use your hand. Also, I'm showing the screen, so I will not be able to see, but just pull up your hand and then make a note. Chairperson of Portfolio Committee, we will move then to governance. We are concerned with fundamentals of accountability and culture and reporting within DECO. It's inadequate. For the size of the department, we really are struggling. We then have recommended that the internal audit must actually review the integrated systems of governance to ensure that currently the appropriate governance principles are actually in place. We also requested that the structures that are existing be assessed if they are actually effective, including the roles and responsibilities. We also have requested that ethical culture be included in that assessment, because we are struggling with behaviors that are indicating non-compliant. We also have requested that it must include the best practice, not just compliant with laws and regulations. And internal audit has included this. We do foresee, though, this project will be one of those projects that are conducted by external members, but the internal audit is providing an oversight over that project, because it would be a consulting work, not necessarily an assurance. On the recent meeting we had, we even recommended that the top management team should actually be attending public sector governance course that is being offered by National School of Government. We will, after that meeting, also request National Treasury to actually come and present to management the processes and systems within governance. Because across board, Chairperson, as we will cover the rest of this item relating to compliance, performance, and risk, we are really struggling, which indicates the methods of audit are always then not going to be dealt with aggressively. On performance, Chair, the performance information within DECO has been quite progressive, and it has been responsive to audit. And also, i.e. meaning it's complying with our National Treasury guidelines. However, for the size of this department and the money that is spent in total, we have felt that we need to actually start looking at what is working in terms of performance, measure efficiency and effectiveness. We are asking the question, what are the key performance indicators at organization level, at a function level, and also at the service level, i.e. at the mission, consulate general, and also at the individual level. In addition to that, we're also asking, do we have the right competencies and capabilities to deliver on the expected expectation of the stakeholders at all levels? And in most cases, Chair, we actually make our own assessment and conclusion and doubt. That is why we are requesting that the department actually look into this, because this will allow the department to have a clear baseline of where it is, because maybe we keep on patching the wound that needs to be cleaned up first. And this will also include competency assessments across board. And this will also contribute in assisting in redesigning the new organizational structure, which is currently underway. We are of a view that this review will assist and eliminate the unauthorized expenditure, but it will also allow the organization to be very clear of what are its core competencies and how does it deliver on that core competency and how does it measure based on the service delivered at each point, whether it's a mission, it's a consulate, or it's at the individual level, or even at the head office. Okay. On risk management and on internal control issues, in this area, Chair, we have really struggled across board. We do not see a proactive and innovative leadership in really using risk as a tool to manage the risk of the organization. And we see that across on meetings that are not being attended. We see it across on documents that are not returned, but also lack of attendance on the risk management committee. We have made suggestions and recommendations to the DG. Some of those recommendations have been implemented, but Chair, we are nowhere close at the speed we're supposed to really deal with these matters. As a result, we do foresee that on a constant basis, then the department will never be prepared, because we are always reactive and we are not taking the issues of risk. We do not understand that risk management is a tool for management to manage the controls, but to make sure that they are achieving their objectives. The objective of audit outcome are just the results of management managing the risk to such an extent that governance, compliance, internal control improves. But if management does not take these tools and instruments that are available and use them to manage the organization, we really will struggle to get this clean audit or to have a clean administration. Chair, on compliance, as I highlighted earlier about lack of accountability and non-compliance, we often view this as shared collectively from the top all the way down at the senior management. And this non-compliance has been constantly been noted also even by Auditor General, Internal Audit. And it cuts across not just in finance, but it cuts across even within the users of the services which are relating to finance. And therefore, we are of a view that these different roles on compliance, they have somehow fragmented on having a proper control and the direction and the supervision. And we have recommended to the department that there has to be someone dedicated within the current structures who will actually know in that unit, in that branch, this is where we are on compliance. These are the legislation that we have. And that should then later be part of also risk management. But this must be a coordinating responsibility, not necessarily creating a job or creating an individual person to do. So which means we will need also, Chair, for the management to review the current skilled people to be able to do this. Again, we doubt, because we have struggled to get this going. Internal audit function reports directly to the audit committee, functionally and administratively to the DG. we are quite comfortable with how this function has actually worked in the department. However, we have seen that it's not adequately capacitated. And in most other cases, like I indicated earlier, that the auditing of or the skills audit of finance and governance, we do foresee that that will need to actually be outsourced because we don't have adequate capacity there. But they do have tools, including softwares, but it's just the department, the function is just too small to be able to cover all the missions, the 120 missions that we have. So we generally look at the risk and focus mainly on the matters that are key. We recently also went through the standard 5-year external quality assurance review that was conducted by independent consultant. We got a rating which is called partially compliant with the internal audit standard, which means there were areas of deficiencies, the areas of improvement. We have reviewed this report, members, in detail, and provided oversight, and we are monitoring the implementation on a quarterly basis by the members. We do foresee by end of this year that we will be fully compliant, and we will then also provide that report on our closing report, especially on my exit. Members, I would like to say that we also made a recommendation to the internal audit that the internal audit will need to be a champion for combined assurance. And we also made a recommendation that they must assist in enforcing the systems and controls. In the areas where we have felt the risk were too high, we have requested internal audit to do consulting work. And we do have requested the DG that the performance agreement of the chief audit executive, including the evaluation, must be part of what the audit committee actually reviews. And myself and the DG will need to sign that to make sure that the deliverables of the unit is aligned to what the chief audit executive, who's heading the department, is actually delivering on. The last two items, Chair, is on the Auditor General. We have had a very good relationship over the past 2 years, continuously, even with the changes of management within AG, we have continuously have that relationship. The audit for this period has been postponed to the fact that they couldn't complete some of the audit in overseas with a lockdown. However, this will actually be finalized shortly. I believe by the 15th of October, we'll be given a brief, a detailed brief on how far and specific deadlines on when the report will be released. On the matters relating to previous year, the cash and cash equivalent was still a main concern. And this was even a concern with National Treasury. The lady that was assisting us there has left National Treasury. We will be contacting National Treasury again to see how they can assist us to fix the problem relating to cash and cash equivalent. But in addition to that, the internal audit will also do some work to assess the controls if they have improved. The African Renaissance Fund, Chair, there has been good outcomes on the audit over the years, and we're comfortable on how the issues that were coming from audit previously have been dealt with. However, there were still matters relating to the performance indicators that were not as well defined in meeting the SMART criteria as per National Treasury. This matter is will be discussed further with management and the committee to prepare for the new year. Other matters, members, are relating to audits that have came to our attention. We just have noticed that the current reporting lines and structures that exist do not promote a close supervision and a personality accountability. And we also view that this leads to lack of performance and consequence management. yes, there has been some progress because now there's a person in HR that is assisting to deal with consequence management from the investigations that were conducted, but we are of a view that there has been a very slow pace. It is not clear at this point as to the root cause of this slow pace. Some of it has been just maybe, according to what we have collected, has been just people not coordinating and be able to actually collaborate to provide the relevant information to finalize some of these methods. We have raised this concern with the DG and also indicated that where the methods are not actually clear, handing them over to other oversight structures like National Treasury and also to the lawyers in Attorney General will might actually assist, because maybe members that are involved in some of these matters are too close to the matters. And as for the 2019 BRR, we are looking at that report and we have been looking at that report. The management has provided some feedback, but we have not been comfortable in those matters. We have also requested that the internal audit provide some assurance on the evidence that management will be providing. We also requested that management take the recommendations and put them on their systems and checklists so that these matters are dealt with. We'd like to appreciate the minister's support and the DG and his top management in assisting us to deal with the matters of governance and audit action plans and also just performance in general. We are of a view, though, that we do need the support, the further support, but we also need a leadership that is going to deal with matters precisely and leadership that's going to deal with the matters aggressively, because the matters that we're sitting at hand does keep a question on how we actually going to build going forward when we are reorganizing DERCO as the plan. Chairperson, thank you so much. I will take the question and I will also allow Martin, the deputy chair, to actually add if there's any matters on the questions. Thank you.
Yeah, you are going to allow Martin through me, Precious.
Yes, Chair, absolutely.
Yes. Honorable members, that was the presentation from Audit and Risk. It is as frank as it is, very honest account on what is happening in the department. So I'm going to allow members to raise hands and they are so big. Inkosi, you are the first one to raise hands. Whilst we are waiting for more hands to come, Honorable Nkosi, I give it to you. Honorable Bachman, I see you are also raising your hand. Let me note hands rather. Nkosi will be the first one. Honorable Bachman will be the third one. Honorable Swart, you follow. Honorable Msane, and then Honorable Banza. In that order.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks to the Audit and Risk Committee. My first question, okay, let me just give a general impression that I labored under the impression that there is a general improvement in the department, but clearly from this report, it is clear that there are very serious problems around accountability, management, setting the tone at the top, compliance, and issues of governance, but in specific terms. I just want to understand from yourself, Honorable Bulani, why the risk committee functions as a subcommittee of the audit committee. Enterprise-wise risk management requires that risk be embedded in and be regarded as a strategic aspect of delivery of services in an organization. And I think relegating it to a subcommittee has the risk itself of neglecting risk. On the issue of governance, Chair, it is clear that what the Audit and Risk Committee says it, that it is struggling to ensure compliance, to ensure that the required standards of governance are complied with by the department. My question is, what are the specific actions that you as an audit committee or as an audit and risk committee have taken? Have raised this with the minister? Have raised this with the DGs? Have you monitored it closely? And are you applying consequences yourselves to the top management? And lastly, Chair, I think we've been asking for this audit action plan from the department. I think it is safe to say that we have not received the audit plan, but what is clear is that the department presents to the audit committee what it thinks is relevant for the audit committee to comment on, and it doesn't present an adequate, as they say, updated and revised audit plan. And this is a problem. This is something that is supposed to guide us into the next financial year by addressing the root causes of the problems addressed by the AT. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Bachmann.
Chair, thank you very much. My camera's off because of the data. Just in terms of the audit report, I thank the auditors for the sincerity in which they come to us.
Andy?
Sorry?
Coming.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Honorable Bachmann, we are listening to you.
Okay. Now, just saying that we thank the auditing committee for their sincerity in which they raised the issues. I think what they're showing us is a cry for help. If you hear what they're saying, if you read between the lines, it sounds like they've made recommendations to top management and they're just not being listened to. That seems like a lot of recommendations have been made upstairs, and it seems like we're just not... You know, it seems like there's just not enough that's been done. Now, we asked the questions last year, and I'm interested to know, of all the recommendations that were introduced, and I'm talking about formal recommendations, how many recommendations were made formally, and how many of those recommendations have been implemented by the CFO? And in terms of the DBAG tender, I'm still interested to know if there's been an awarding of the DBAG tender, and if not, why not? And in terms of the KPIs, I note again, unfortunately, that again in the audit reports, we're talking about KPIs that are just not, they're not reaching the targets. You know, they're both in the departments and in the missions. We're talking about KPIs that are not measuring what we should be measuring. They're not speaking to what we should be measuring in terms of seeing whether the money would stretch or whether we're managing the money correctly. And of course, this is what leads to rat chowing the money. And I think it's important that we start getting into setting KPIs correctly. And it's sad to see that we've had to go externally to find out, to find whether we have personnel internally, when we have a fully functional HR department that should be able to determine whether we have the skill sets internally. The fact that we have to go externally to determine this is actually embarrassing. And I mean, as our colleague has pretty much said, she knew the answer to the question before we went out and got the before we went out and got the report, we actually did know the answer to the question. But the fact that the answer to the question is a negative and shows us that we do not have that skill set, I'm going to put my pension on the table and tell us that I can guarantee you that what at our missions, we do not have the skill set to manage our budgets. We do not have the skill set to manage our KPIs. That we're sending people over abroad that do not necessarily have the financial skills or do not necessarily have the diplomatic skills to manage the actual budgetary functions. And I think for us, these are the kind of concerns that if we're really serious about or the auditing controls, the internal controls, these are something that we as the committee, we're going to have to start really looking at. And I think this is a good place to start. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Suarez.
Thank you, Chair. We thank the department for their report, Chair. However, I'm noting that the report does not adequately cover the following: the effectiveness of control systems, the effectiveness of internal audit function of the department, the risk areas of the department, the accuracy of financial information, any accounting and auditing concerns identified, the department's compliance with legal and regulatory provisions. Over and above functions, the authority this committee has to investigate matters within your powers. For example, does the department have an asset register? For me, I'm saying that where are the reports and how many reports have you given to the accounting officer with recommendations, and how many of those recommendations has the department implemented? Because it means that you, as an assurance provider, as this committee, are supposed to give support to the accounting officer. And if the department is not performing, it means that this committee is equally not performing, because your report does not adequately cover the aspects of the work that the PMFA and Treasury regulations enjoin you to perform. Because you are not telling us in numbers how many reports have you given the accounting officer, and how many of them have been implemented, and how many of those recommendations have been achieved. The type of reports this committee is giving us, Chair, I don't know, maybe I'm a bit phobic because I sit on SCOPA. It's like you are the AG and you are making recommendations, but you are not telling us, you yourself as the committee, and what you have done, what you have achieved in terms of numbers and in terms of the sections within DIRCO itself, that this is the highest risk, this is the lowest risk, this is what you've recommended. You are citing in your presentation on many occasions how meetings are not being attended, but you are not telling us that you, as the committee that is cracking the whip, as the auditors, that this has not happened, this is what we have done. You are just giving us this report. So I'd like to know, how many reports have you given to the accounting officer? What recommendations? How many of those recommendations have been implemented? Because surely this committee is not an oversight committee. We, as the committee in Parliament, are the oversight committee. So the type of report you are giving us is not clearly covering the type of work you have done. Instead, Ms. Mvulane, you are telling us how many times in your report that your term is coming to an end. It's unfortunate that you keep on saying it's coming to an end, but you are not giving us the real issues that we want to hear, that is aligned to the work that you are supposed to be giving to us here. Because this committee must not behave as if you do oversight and as if you are the Auditor General. You are supposed to be giving us the assurance
what you have done to support this department to perform through reports that you are supposed to give us in numbers, that we gave so many recommendations, so many were implemented. We gave so many reports, they were ignored. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mfane.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think Honorable Swartz has touched on the point which I wanted to raise, but as a committee, we need clarity with regards to having a, let me double check again, having a, they are saying they have a deputy, the deputy chairperson of the audit committee is also the chairperson of the risk management committee. So I think we would need clarity, Chairperson, with regards to the regulations. What do the regulations say with that regard? Because Honorable Nkosi has touched on that issue where the roles now of this internal auditing team and the risk management will begin to clash. And should they clash, we would also need then to check what responsibility is now the internal auditing team taking, and if they want to assume the risk management responsibilities, there are also things which the Treasury outlines. And also, Chairperson, I would like to check, because the report of this internal auditing team is not very convincing. Although we hear Honorable Bergman is saying that they are crying for help, and yes, the Treasury says that, the PFMA says that they account to the accounting officer, who seems to also be a problem, where they say that they report and things are not being done. So in the previous reports, we received that this committee does not meet because the invitees do not attend. And it is prescribed in the PFMA how often this committee should meet. How many times has it met with a full quorum? Because the report does not say that, yes, they've met and they had the invitees present. All the work that was done in the presence of the invitees. And then I want to check, because the report does not state specifics on what work exactly was done and what are the outcomes, because the findings of the Auditor General say that there are many findings that were found. Let me start with the first one. The report that we are receiving from this audit team is that we need to check the baseline of assessment in employees that are employed, because the way I read it, it says to us that the compensation of employees always being an overspending might not only be a possibility of the rand and dollar exchange rate. If the baseline assessment can be done, compensation of employees might not be overspending. That is the way I am reading the report. So is there a possibility that the department is currently paying or overpaying incorrectly placed staff members in incorrectly placed positions? So there's chances that the department is paying people too much for the positions that they are holding or positions that they do not currently qualify for. And if so, which positions are that? Because I would assume that this audit team would have gone through all of those before coming to report to the committee. Hence, they highlight that should the baseline assessment be done on the employees, on the employees, then compensation will not be on overspending. And has this committee ever made recommendations on the filling of the position of the COO? As the previous International Relations Committee of Parliament made recommendations in 2015. And has this committee, this audit committee, ever looked at the proposed property management team, which was sent to Parliament, which was sent to us as this committee with their CVs and their qualifications? And what are your recommendations for this property management team? And then what findings did you get or remedial to the findings of the AG on the supply chain management with regards to the procurement of goods? And has this internal audit committee been able to verify how many foreign bank accounts does the department actually have? Is it 300 or is it 124 or how many it is? Also regarding the diplomatic bag, which its contract expired, the current company's contract expired in July 2019. Has this internal audit made findings, and what has been your recommendations, and what are the implications moving forward to regards to the what will be the AG's finding on this diplomatic bag company? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honorable Mbanza.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, colleagues. Chair, this report, as you have alluded and the other members have alluded, is an honest report and frank report, but it's very disappointing. I must say that, Chair. The picture that it is painting is really a picture of a crisis. Here we are waiting for a disaster to happen in this department. And really, if we are not cracking the whip, we are going to waste a lot of our time trying to deal with this issue. For an example, Chair, we are hearing that skills audits were done, but then I think they were done internally, and then it was discovered that it's not helping. Now it has to be redone, you know, by the external company. And again, when you go to cap, and then you are told that there's no capacity in finance section. You go to governance, the same story comes. No capacity. And then whatever needs to be done must be done by private companies. And I think the frankness of the chair, because she is telling us straight that once these things are not done, then we will not have a situation where all these issues that the AG has been raising being sorted out. So we must wait, Chair, for another qualified audit outcome. And that is not good when we are overseeing a department and then such outcomes, audit outcomes come out. We narrow survived a disclaimer in some other years. So I think, Chair, we seem not to be winning in getting the department really taking this matter serious, particularly audit-related matters. Now, Chair, on the performance, we are being told that, again, there's a problem of they need to look at competencies and the required skills. This will help with the review of the organizational structure. And then the department must decide which is the real core business of the department. My question is that all along, what have they been doing? What if they don't know what is the core business, you know, of the department? Now, I think we need to advise them. Now, we've got the Foreign Service Act in place now. They don't have to go any further. They must just look at the Act itself. It will tell them what is the core business of the department and what is the mandate of the department. Because then you can't have people saying, but they are employed, they are getting salaries, but they are working, but they don't know what they are doing. So it's really, really disappointing. Chair, then on the risk, they are struggling again there. There's no innovative leadership. There's non-attendance of the risk management committee. Really, what is this? This is a crisis that we are faced with. And then in the internal audit, they must identify a dedicated person, then review the skills, but the skills, it will take time to be reviewed because they still have to appoint this external. Now, we can't have chairperson a department that is run by consultants, external people, when there are people who are employed. What are these people employed for and what are they being paid for? So really, Chair, I'm very much not happy. And then when you come to the ARF, Chair, then we were told, this is the story that we hear all the time, ARF is doing very well, so then we must be impressed. The Department of International Relations and Cooperation is not ARF. ARF is an entity under the department. Now, we can't be impressed by the fact that ARF is doing well when it comes to audit issues. And it's worse because the accounting office has the DG. Now, it means that the DG now is focusing on the small component in the corner and is making sure that it performs very well. But the DG is not the DG of the entity. It's the DG of the department. So we will be impressed when the whole department performs very well when it comes to issues of audit. So I just want to check, Chair, from the audit committee. Is there any hope that this year, I know that the 1920 is not yet finalized, still have to be completed, but is there any hope that we'll have a clean audit this time, or at least an unqualified audit, and move away from this qualified audit? Lastly, Chair, I wanted to say really, really, I wanted to say we must emphasize and push for consequence management in this department. Otherwise, we are going to go around in circles, dealing with one and the same issue every time we meet, and there are no consequences. We don't get a report of what actions have been taken. We are seeing in the public now, politicians are being arrested all over the place. Yes, we see some officials, but I think there must be consequences because the people who are actually failing our politicians, and at the end of the day, because the politicians are at the helm and then they are also in the public face, they are the ones who are then branded as corrupt and who are also not doing their work. Yes. Whereas the people who are letting them down and people are actually doing corrupt activities and get away with it, is the officials of those who are in the departments. and there are no consequences. So I think, Chair, I would submit in that way. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Honorable members, for your questions. Ms. Mvulane, in your report, you mentioned the issue of attendance again as a challenge, and it has been a challenge. It's not for the first time that that issue is raised in the portfolio committee. Now, I want to understand the implications of that on decision making by the risk audit, an audit committee. You in the report are saying that there is no adequate capacity in finance and skills audit has to be done by an external company. Why bring in an external company when you yourself already has identified that there is no adequate capacity in finance? And if I still remember, the AG has made recommendations on this regard. And as a portfolio committee, we've been asking for the CV of each and every person who is in the department as an employee, but that has not come forth, and there is no account from the department on this particular issue of the skills audit. Now, my question is, why bringing in a skills audit company from external? Why do you want to waste the resources of the department with something which you know yourself and you are reporting on now, that there is no adequate skills? What to be done when there is no adequate skills? Why do you want to keep people with no skills in the department? Why not suggesting that the department deals with that issue decisively and make it a point that it brings on board people with adequate skills in finance? Also, in your presentation, I did not hear whether there has been an improvement on the 30 days rule to pay service providers, and also the filling of critical vacancies, which I think as the portfolio committee has raised issues sharply around, which is something that we think it will enhance the work of the department and improve how things are done there. Because when we talk about operations and resources that are there, certainly human resources becomes the most critical that we should have as a department, and that person must be adequately qualifying for that particular responsibility. Now, a critical post like the ones of the COO, CIO, project manager for ARF, when are those vacancies going to be filled, and what's the progress on that? Have you ever recommended to the department to say these are critical positions that will assist in ensuring that the operations of the department are at a level where the department is, and put the department where it's supposed to be in terms of performance, and also will enhance and assist the performance of the department these critical positions. So what is the issue and what are the challenges with that regard? On cash and cash equivalent, it's not a new report. In fact, your report is rehashing all the things that you've been reporting to us previously, but there has been no progress in terms of improving on what you've been reporting to us. It can't be that at this hour you are still reporting to us that cash on cash is still a problem. What are the root causes of this cash and cash equivalent, so that we're able to understand? The committee on two occasions has asked Mr. Labane to provide recommendations contained in their reports to management for the committee to understand better and for the committee to pursue and enforce the department to implement such recommendations, but that has not come forth till to date. So make us understand the challenges and provide to us the root causes of all the problems surrounding the cash and cash equivalence. I'm going to allow you to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. There's quite a lot of questions. I think I will start with the cash and cash equivalent. Our assessment is the bookkeeping. At the mission level, the individuals that are heading the missions, including the corporate service positions at missions, generally do not have a finance background, and the supervisory controls that are there between the missions and the finance unit and the branch head is fragmented. That's the root cause. So the mission will report to a branch head, yet the functions that it performs also relate to activities that are around finance. The accountability will not be at the finance to say here are the things, but the accountability is within the head of that branch or that region. So we have recommended to the management to actually review its delegation and make sure that even though it will have a parallel accountability, but it allows management to be collectively accountable for the results and activities that are happening at the mission. That has been what was recommended and discussed, even including with the CFO and the DG. So basically, Chair, the root cause is one, the reporting lines, two, is the bookkeeping, the accountability on making sure that the transactions that are being processed actually have been, the information is collected and reconciled properly. And that has been the main issue. An internal audit, please come through by typing on the chat if maybe I'm missing anything. Members, I do agree to a certain extent that our the report that I am presenting here is coming short in certain aspects. One, we were not expecting to have this meeting. The notice for it was very short. We do have a registry of the recommendations, including what has been implemented and the progress. Chairperson, I will make sure that I do actually provide that tracking. We also have done few activities that have assisted, and there are some progress in some of them, but in some of them, the progress is slow. So one of the recommendations that was made was that risk management must form part of the performance agreements by the DDGs and the Chief Directorate, so that it actually part of what we are measuring in the performance agreement. On principle, the management has agreed, but the implementation is still in process. Now, as for specific matters relating to the filling of positions, including the critical post, we are monitoring it because we get feedback from the DG who provide the feedback. However, in other instances, it has been they can't find the right person. The filling of the CEO, from the feedback and the reporting that we got, that position was, we were told that it will actually be reviewed and not necessarily be back onto the structure. I think members of the portfolio committee, we provide advice to the accounting officer, but the accounting officer also can make their own decisions on the matters. And for the one for CEO, we had actually followed up, I think it was 2016 or 17, and this matter was still not resolved. And the conclusion on it was that the structure was going to be revised. Now, I want to also try to explain the differences. The members of this audit committee does attend meetings. The meetings that we're saying are not being attended is the subcommittee of this, which is called risk. Honorable Member Ngosi was raising the issue, why was this committee a subcommittee, not part of the audit and risk? I think, members, this was done, or should I say was designed before we came in. We have raised the issue, or personally, I have raised this issue with the DG, to an extent to say, because the members that are not attending do attend the audit committee, can then we put these together? That has not worked well, because the issue was that this subcommittee should not necessarily take a management role, a risk management role. So that was a different thought of departure. And we then also requested and made specific recommendation of what we expect from the risk management. And when we started working on that process, I had a meeting both with the DG, the chairperson of risk, and put specific deliverables that will help the audit committee to make assessment on risk. It was the items that we have recommended, I think only 40% have been implemented on risk management. And these issues are not new either. They have been there. The last meeting we had, the DG did admit that the issues of risk and issues of governance in general have not been something that is on top of the head of the organization. But he then indicated that he will take all the recommendations that we've made, both on risk and internal controls. Now, I want to talk about internal controls and then relate them to risk. The internal controls within the environment are not necessarily effective because they don't give an assurance that the matters that have been dealt with before or the matters that we're already aware that are the risk is sufficient. Because as I said earlier, in most cases, it's just the control get tested by internal audit. Immediately in one instance, the Auditor General audited in the same area, but we still had the same finding, which means that the role of all the assurers from risk management, internal audit, even audit committee are actually not effective, because even when there are indications, there is a recommendation, to an extent that even the recommendation of the internal audit action plan was not, the action plan did not include the internal audit findings, was really flawed, because we then are saying the role of internal audit is to highlight and give some red flags so that management can then be able to go back. By the time Auditor General come to do the audit, then they have done something. So in most cases, we do see a pattern that the findings that are sitting on the internal audit are also going to be sitting on the Auditor General. Management has not been proactive in actually dealing with the issues of controls. There has been some changes within the fixed asset and the register, as the member was saying. Yes, the organization does have a fixed asset register. However, it's only this year that they moved from the Excel spreadsheet to actually using a system. However, since it's the first year of implementation of the system, even if management will have taken quite a lot of effort to clean it up, because it's the first year, then there will be still issues that will come on audit, without a doubt, because it's the first year they have immigrated to a new system. Yes, they do have a fixed asset register. On whether that fixed asset register has errors or no errors, I guess that is a matter for audit, for us to review the report and analyze the root cause. Now, as for the matters that were raised on saying the accuracy of records, the investigations, the concerns around the matters that are being raised in here, the accuracy of records, the internal control efficiency and record keeping is still coming across the organization. I think the other time when I even went to the department and I went through finance, there were files lying all over, and I raised a concern and saying that if the files are just sitting like this, why we are not managing the records properly? We're going to have a problem with audit here. I think in generally the filing system and how it's being managed is actually not working. We are of a view that corporate service should actually relook at the filing system, the processes that are in place, especially in regards to records management, because the records management or records keeping leads into inadequate reporting, leads to inaccuracy of the records. I would like to highlight also, members, that we do receive the reports. The reports are, in generally, we analyze them and some of them get audited by internal audit. However, I want to express, members, that in other instances, we don't receive adequate reports. To an extent, in the previous meeting, we actually made a recommendation that we're going to provide management on each unit what reports they need and at what template, because we keep on going back and forth on the same issues. So we have made those recommendations. We are hoping that we will have a session where we go through with them, with management, so that they can understand what reports we require to do our work and how those reports should be prepared. In most instances, sometimes the reports are sent to us, but they are sent at a level of management, not at the level of the audit committee as an oversight structure in terms of functions and audit. As a result, then we send the document back and say return. Then the matter just keeps on rolling and rolling. And members, we only have 4 meetings in a year. The only meetings that we have, especially, will only be dedicated for that matter.